morning. It's good to see all of you out, and it's just I'm really looking forward to tonight and a time where we can sing songs of praise to God, especially Christmas carols. Christmas isn't too far away, and as we celebrate Christmas, it's not so much, you know, the Christmas tree and the gifts under the tree, although those things are nice, but really we want to have our mind focused on Jesus Christ, because He is the gift that God has given to us, and how precious that is, and we want to be praising our Lord because of His wonderful gift in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have a wonderful time as far as specials and all different types of things tonight as far as praising our Lord. And we want to begin by looking to our Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Jesus Christ. We recognize without Him, we would have no Christmas at all. We wouldn't have a reason for celebrating. We wouldn't have any joy or hope. So I do pray that even tonight we'd have our mind focused on You and Your goodness to us. And I pray even tonight, if there's one that has not yet experienced or has not yet accepted that free gift of salvation that is in Jesus Christ, that I pray even tonight that person would believe on Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for us, He was buried, He rose again the third day. I thank You that whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life and they're bound for heaven. So we do thank You for Your many blessings. We do thank You for each one that came tonight. And I pray that we would have a great time of praising You, of worshiping You together, and lifting up our voices in praise. So I pray that through all these things that Your name would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's open this evening in song. Go ahead and take your blue songbooks and turn to number 145 and stand with me. And every one of you is here tonight to exalt the name of Jesus Christ and to proclaim His glory. You can go ahead and have a chair. The way this is going to go on tonight is that we know that many of you have prepared different activities and different things to be able to bring, to be able to help us facilitate in worshiping Jesus Christ our Savior at this time of the year. So come one after another. Don't leave long gaps. Don't make me stand up here and look stupid. And then usually these things, the hour goes really fast, so just keep going. And if we need to, we'll fill in with some hymns or whatever else. So who will be first? Is it us? We can go first. We'll start it off, my wife and I. Be next.
We've prepared Luke chapter 2, and we're going to try and quote verses 1 through 16, but the Bible's in case we get lost. Are you ready? Okay, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all the world went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the multitude
the angel...
Okay, let's start at 13 again. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16.
Excellent. We read that story. My grandpa used to read. We have a very large old family Bible back at, well, my grandmother's now. And my grandfather used to always read Luke chapter 2. And since he has passed away, now my father reads at Christmas. And someday I'm sure I'll have to read it as well. But it's always a wonderful memory. Who will be next?
Can we sing 125?
Yes. What we're going to try to do, if you don't mind, we're going to try to get as many of the people who prepared something first, and then we'll get to any favorites if nobody has anything else. And I'm sure that more of you have something. I've talked to some of you. Joy?
Oh, go ahead, James.
All right, James. Excellent. On the piano? What are you going to play?
They came upon a midnight clear and O Come All Ye Faithful.
Great. Singing Silent Night?
Yep. Silent Night.
sing.
Oh, that you want to be the
sing. It's about those days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I need this closer. I can't see it.
What's the page number?
137.
Huh?
147.
147?
Silent Night. Who'll be next? Don't be shy now. Is that all we have? Nobody else prepared anything. If that's... Go ahead. Absolutely. That's alright, I already took mine off. Don't even think it made it to the car.
This is really a wonderful evening. We have, as Pastor said, we have great reason to rejoice in the Christmas season, the birth of Christ, the reason for the season. And in thinking of why Christ came, he came to save sinners. Hopefully you all know that. But that was the precise reason, the basic reason he came. And I found, in my looking through articles, I found something that I thought would be more than worthwhile to share with you. It's not of my own writing. It's by Henry Morrison, an evangelist from years ago. This has to do with soul winning and witnessing to the lost. The article is called Snake in His Boots. Funny title, isn't it? I think you'll get the emphasis of this as we move through it. And then I'd like to share a little personal testimony. By the time I'm through, it'll be time to eat. That's what I'm afraid of. I usurp time. Ask Pastor when he comes over to visit. We have quite a visit. Well, this is Snakes in His Boots. Interesting. This gentleman says, I had been called to assist in evangelistic meetings in a beautiful little city in Virginia. The pastor was a most delightful Christian gentleman. Soon after the beginning of the meeting, my attention was called to a young man in the town, the son of an excellent family, who had been successful in business, but had taken to drink. Just follow the theme of all of this. He had gone from bad to worse. This is what drink will do. Other things will do the same thing, but his business failed. A good property had been swept away. At that present time, he was having delirium tremens. If you've ever heard anyone with that, you'll never forget it, because I had that experience one time. A pastor friend and I were painting a house, and the couple inside that owned the home, they both were drunkards, and she had this, and she would just scream, and it was not nice. Some young men were working with this drunken man faithfully. They would take him into the woods on a creek bank during the day and keep him there. A fine thing, by the way. The deep, silent woods on the bank of a clear, gurgling creek are a place for calm thought and earnest prayer. A good place for a struggling soul to seek after God. That should be the reason why we're all here, to learn of the Word and learn about the Lord and commit our lives to Him. These young friends would bring their fighting victim into church and sit with him on the back seat. As the days went forward, he improved a bit. He became less violent. He gradually sobered. On the last night of the meetings, he was happily converted. It was a wonderful transformation. Before his conversion, I had gone up to his cottage to talk and pray with him. This is before his conversion now. His gate was off the hinges. His yard was rooted up by the pigs. Weatherboarding had been torn off his cottage, and it was in great need of repairs and paint. In the house were broken chairs and dilapidated furniture. His wife, lean and gaunt, in a faded dress, sat on a piece of chair with her head down. A little baby sat on the floor with a hard crust in his hand and a swarm of flies all around his face. It was a wretched place. The whiskey demon, it seemed, the whiskey demon had done its worst. After preaching in the church on Wednesday evening, many friends came up to greet me. Among them, a beautiful woman, tastefully dressed, with roses in her cheek, laughter on her mouth, and tears in her eyes. I wonder if I missed a little bit. I don't think I did. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. I missed That's what happens when you get old. Remember where we were. The whiskey demon, it seemed, had done his worst, okay? Some 3 months after, I spent a few days in the same town. I met the pastor at the front of his church, and after a cordial greeting, he insisted that I should preach in the church on Wednesday night. I promised to do this. He then said, "Step across the street to that grocery. There is a man there who would like to see you." I went over to the grocery. A big, handsome, well-dressed man rushed from behind the counter, grabbed my hand and squeezed it until the bones ached. He expressed his great joy at seeing me. I confessed that I did not know him. "Why," said he, "I'm the fellow who had the snakes in my boots and the monkeys on my bedpost when you were there for your evangelistic meetings. Don't you remember? I was converted the last night of the meeting." I did remember at once, and we rejoiced together. He said, "I have not had the slightest appetite or desire for whiskey from that time to this time, from that night to this time." He went on, "You must have supper with us Thursday night. My wife will be delighted to see you." I was glad to accept his invitation. After preaching on the church on that Wednesday night, many friends came up to greet me. Among them, a beautifully dressed woman with roses in her cheeks, laughter on her mouth, and tears in her eyes. She said, "I want you to have supper with us this Thursday evening." I promised to take supper with my friend Frank, naming his remarkable convert. She answered laughingly, "I am Frank's wife." I was greatly surprised and a bit displeased. I hardly thought it was the proper thing for this new convert to bully the poor, wretched-looking creature of a wife he had just 3 months ago and marry this beautiful young woman in such a short time. But on inquiry, I found out it was the same woman. The difference was this. When I saw her the first time, she was the wife of a miserable, lost drunkard, jabbering with delirium tremens. When I saw her 3 months later, she was the wife of a wonderfully saved man, filled with the joy of the Lord, prosperous and happy in his business. You may be sure I went up to their house for supper that next evening. The gate was on the hinges. The fence had been repaired. The yard was in good order. The cottage had been mended and painted as white as snow. When I entered the house, there was carpet on the floor, well-arranged furniture, books on the shelves, and pictures on the wall. When supper came, there was a fat T-bone steak and a rosy-cheeked baby sitting in a high chair without a fly on him. I renewed my faith and purpose to preach a Christ who is so mighty and so gracious to serve, to save. Back yonder 3 months ago, at a late meeting, a late hour in the evening, at the altar of the church, there had been a new birth. It was the beginning of a new life. Old things had passed away and old things had become new. The new birth and new life are powerful and irrefutable evidence of the Godhead and saving power of the Lord Jesus. This is an argument that cannot be answered. Henry C. Morrison. If I might give a word of testimony, some years ago, when we attended Faith Baptist Church in Geneseo, it was on a Friday evening, The only reason that I had to be at the church was to help out a bit with something. I don't even remember just what it was. At 9 o'clock, the telephone rang, and a lady in a desperate condition, her voice shaking, was on the other end of the line, and one of the workers at the church took the call, and she wanted help. There was a problem, a domestic problem in the home. Being in the right place at the right time can be a challenge and be a blessing. And we want to take advantage of those things when the Lord gives them. One of the faithful deacons in the church who was there, and we went out to the country area and found this home and answered that call that this lady wanted someone. She wanted someone to come out. Excuse me. My heart was touched as I read this, because the situation that Brother Lyle and I were in that evening was something similar to what I just read to you. We found the place overgrown, house in a shambles. I'm not kidding you. The ceiling was falling, tile like this were falling down. It was a warm evening. Flies, you couldn't believe it. There was old food on the table, just kind of wasting away. And here was this lady and the others in the home that had the problem. And we sat down at the table with her and proceeded to listen to her, of course. There were so many flies we could hardly visit. I didn't know that I would ever share this testimony, because Lyle and I felt that it was such a hard time for them that maybe it ought to be just kept and not say anything, lest it bring a sense of reproach to the family at some time or other. But years have gone by, and I'm sharing it with you tonight. Lyle proceeded to witness to the lady, led her to Christ, and another young person in the home as well, listened, and made a profession of faith at least. That's not the end of the story. My wife and I, we attended there for some time after that. But then we chose, because of health reasons and one thing and another, we chose to attend a church in the local area where we were, a regular Baptist church, and try to help out there. We were driving 39 miles one way to church for many years, which amounted to about, and this is neither here nor there, but it amounted to about 15,000 miles a year to attend prayer meeting, morning and evening, and extra duties. Be that as it may, the Lord was good. He met our need to do that. But the story hasn't ended there. The pastor that's there now, he's been there since 2000. I was there when they called him. And since that time, previous to that, this lady and others in the home have come to know the Lord. There are folks attending the church now out of that wretched scene who have come to know Christ and are being faithful in the church. One or two young men, I think, have gone off in the military and are doing well. That's the story of the power to save when a person commits their life, accepts Christ. At the expense of taking away the seriousness of that, I consulted with Pastor prior to the service if a little humor was in order. He says, "Well, I think so." You know me from past services that occasionally we had injected something here and there. So let me see if I can find something. Have I got a minute or two? This isn't all just humor. Here's a real challenge. And I take this from the Salt and Light paper from Northland Baptist Bible College, which my nephew, who pastored in Buchanan, would regularly send me these articles, and so I've kept them. And here's a couple of goodies. Listen to this. Never be afraid to try something new. Remember, amateurs built the ark, professionals built the Titanic. I like that. An antique collector passing through a small village stopped to watch an old man chopping wood with a... He had an ancient axe. "That's a mighty old axe you have there," he remarked, the fellow that visited him. "Yep," said the villager. "It once belonged to Sir Walter Raleigh." "Oh, not really." "Yes, it did," gasped the collector. "It certainly has stood up well, of course," admitted the old man. "It has had 3 new handles and 2 new heads." The test of every religious, political, or educational system is the man that it forms. Now, you got to think that through a little. The test of any political, educational, or religious system is the man that it forms, like the one I read about. The shoe store owner said to a customer, "Yes, sir, we do have a fine collection of loafers. I'll see if I can get one of them to wait on you." Do what you can with what you have and where you are. That's what Teddy Roosevelt once said. And here's one to think through. Adversity introduces a man to himself. Think that one through a little bit. How many more? I think I shared this one in one of the services, but it's worth going after again. A tough old cowboy counseled his grandson that if he wanted to live a long life, the secret was to sprinkle a little pinch of gunpowder on his oatmeal every morning. The grandson did this religiously to the age of 103. When he died, he left 14 children, 30 grandchildren, 45 great-grandchildren, 25 great-great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole where the crematorium used to be. That's where the gunpowder comes in. I'll close with this one. This is too good to leave. One day a customer walked into a pet shop and told the clerk, I need 2 small mice and about 5 dozen roaches. Puzzled, the clerk asked, the reason for this strange request. Well, replied the man, I'm moving out of my apartment, and my lease stipulates that I must leave the premises in exactly the same condition as I moved in. Thank you. As I close my comment, remember snakes in the boots rather than all these others.
We have Dwayne LaFleur, the preacher, and Dwayne LaFleur, the stand-up comic. Is there anybody else that prepared anything? Otherwise, we can go ahead and sing 127. Bob?
I'll sing a song. I got something.
All right, we can sing 127. What was it, 125? 125. That is close. 125. Joy to the world. Let's sing.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. The Lord is Savior King. Every heart prepared Him through. And heaven and nature sing.
Bob, would you like to come up here?
Anybody else have something? You know, they're on the list.
Oh, we didn't have a list. I didn't. We have Kevin?
202?
202? We can sing 202. If that's all right with you. All right. We'll sing 202, and then we'll have Bob share, and then we'll close it up for the night. Amazing Grace.
Next is that Christmas carol. But that Christ, that child came, and He died on the cross to save us, to give us this amazing grace.
Oh,
Would you like to stay there? Would you like to come up here? Okay, go ahead.
What Dwayne talked about, that same kind of a story could be repeated millions of times. Lives in a shamble, this world system, emptiness, and the Bible says no peace, there's no peace for the wicked. 50 years ago, December the 6th, 1959, Maud and I were saved in the month of December. We had religion, but we were lost. The difference is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It may be like some of you here this evening, singing these songs, and I did, when I had religion, I sang these songs. It just as well as been in Greek or Spanish or something else. I didn't know what it meant. The words were empty as far as communicating a message to me of understanding. And the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that old things pass away and all things become new. Now you can be materially wealthy. You can have the biggest house in town, the biggest car. And in society, you really rank. And yet your life is empty because you don't have the Lord. So, David of the Old Testament, in his glory years, when Israel was at its peak, he had the responsibility of building a temple to bring the Ark of the Covenant to. And he had done this. And so they were having a great celebration. God was as evidence of God was present because of the Ark of the Covenant. When a person is saved, it says their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God indwells, a miracle, a miraculous coming to dwell in here, and that is the power that changed my want to. I thirsted for the wells of this world that never satisfied. The day I was saved, I was in the tavern on the 5th of December. I was saved the 6th of December. Never went back. God said He'd change my life. And He did, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now what I'd like to read some scripture here. In 1 Chronicles, they were having this celebration because of bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, the presence of God, and so they're celebrating. So I'm saying if you're born again Christian tonight, you can relate to these, and I'd say it'd be very appropriate. We could read the same things that they read at that particular time. Here's what it says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done. O seed of Israel, His servants, your children of Jacob, as your chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared among all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all the fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Let the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather to us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Now, the day I got saved, I was forgiven by a holy, righteous God. Now, that's the grace of God. We don't deserve that. We just sang the song Amazing Grace. I was given as a free gift eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift. Religion, people are working for it. So if you are here tonight and you're not saved, there's two groups of people, you're lost. You're on the broad way that leads to destruction. And God is your judge as you sit here according to the Word of God. But God loves you. And He sent a Savior, and we're celebrating that this particular time of the year. A Savior to save people from their sin. And all that receive the Lord Jesus Christ, very simple story. We're a lost sinner. God loves us. He provides a Savior. And through receiving Him as your very own Savior, simple childlike faith, like a five-year-old child, receiving Him as your personal Savior, He forgives that individual, gives them eternal life, changes their life, transforms them, puts a song in their heart, and prays unto their God.
Should we close with one more Christmas carol?
Sure. We have time for one more Christmas carol. Ron? Yes, Ron? I'm sorry?
151.
Good Christian men rejoice. Why don't we stand together to close out our program with Good Christian men rejoice. Rejoicing because Christ is born today.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Praise be to God we say. Good news, Jesus Christ is born today. Loves and as before we bow when He is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice.
Amen. What a wonderful thing. We were just saying it. Christ was born to save. nobody else was born just like Jesus Christ was born, because Jesus Christ, he was born of Mary, and the Holy Spirit came upon Mary in a birth like no other. God the Son became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And Jesus Christ was born to save me and you and each and every person in the world. And all we have to do is believe on Jesus Christ, because he died for us. He was buried and he rose again. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that free gift of salvation? I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I do want to remind you that Christmas Eve, on Thursday night, we'll have a Christmas Eve service here at 6 o'clock. You're invited to come. It'll be a candlelight service. So we'll be singing Christmas carols. We'll be encouraged from the Word. And also we'll be singing by candlelight. So I encourage you to come Thursday night for our Christmas Eve service. And also you're invited to come downstairs right now for a fellowship. And we have more than enough food, so come on down and we'll have a great time. And looking forward to that fellowship and that rejoicing together in Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the food as we go downstairs. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful time we've had this evening, praising you, remembering what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And we do thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to be born, yes, in a manger. But I thank you that he didn't stay in that manger. He grew up and he died on the cross for us. I thank you for that salvation. So I do pray that we'd rejoice in you. Help us not to forget the true reason for this Christmas season. So I pray that you'd be glorified in all of this. We thank you for the many people that have contributed to all of the preparation of the food downstairs. We pray that you'd bless that food. We do thank you for it. And I pray that you'd be glorified in a great way as we have that fellowship together. So we do thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.